This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. So glad you are here with me today, because today is all about you, meaning I am answering your questions today. If you have not yet listened to episode 521, you're going to want to hear that one first, because this is a follow-up to episode 521. As I shared with you in that episode, I put this week's podcast to a vote on my Instagram stories. I had received an unusual number of questions about two topics, fasting and debt, and I asked you guys which you would rather I talk about, and by a landslide, it was like 70% in favor of debt. That is why we are on this train this week. On episode 521, in episode 521, same, I talked about my journey of becoming debt-free. It really was a catalyst for taking control of my entire life. Because when you give in to what you want in a moment at the expense of what you want most, it's an operating system. It doesn't matter whether it is alcohol, it's spending money on shoes, it's food, hitting the snooze button. That way of living, becoming a person, being a person who cares more about what you want now than what you want most, it will have an effect on every aspect of your life, from your career to your health to your physique to your finances. So for me, I wasn't always somebody who was good with money. I won't say I was ever terrible or reckless, but I certainly made ridiculous decisions. Like I think I mentioned in episode 521, I got a few checks from my first employer post-college, and they were specifically for tuition reimbursement for my master's coursework. And instead of putting them towards the loans that I took out to pay my tuition, I bought new furniture. So I made a series of decisions like that that put me in debt. And in episode 521, I talk about that process, how I got started, what I did, the changes I made, the process that I personally subscribe to. And I also introduced my sister's story. My sister Debbie, who is 2 years older than me, was on the show. She's very much in the thick of getting out of debt now, and she is somebody who didn't think she could. She went to out-of-state college, a very prestigious school. She went to Tufts University, for those of you that are familiar, maybe on the East Coast. And then she also did her master's coursework out-of-state, taking loans all the way through, and she's a social worker. So, and she lives in Boston. Her living expenses are very high. Her student loan payments are very high. And because she's a social worker, I think we all can make some assumptions about her salary. Certainly modest. Perhaps that's a generous word. But she's doing it. She didn't think she could, but she is. And she has made amazing progress in the last 2 years. So she shares her story. And what I'm going to do today is answer your questions. Almost all of these came in via Instagram. And if you have questions that I don't touch on in today's episode, just head over to primalpotential.com/522. That is the location of the show notes for today's episode. And you can just comment with your question, your comment, or you can send me a direct message on Instagram. You can find me there at Elizabeth Benton. To recap what I talked about in episode 521, but please listen to that first, or you might be a little bit lost and feeling like there's some holes in today's episode. I followed the approach of Dave Ramsey. Many of you are familiar with Dave Ramsey. He has written a number of books on money management, everything from getting out of debt to smart investing, all of that kind of stuff. He has a radio show and a podcast. His approach is super simple, which I love because I believe complexity is the enemy of execution. Give me simple and I can focus on it. The first step, he has six steps. The first step is getting $1,000 in an emergency fund. You do that first, right? You're paying your bills all the while, but everything extra isn't going to investing, isn't going to paying extra on any of your loans. It is going to getting that $1,000 in your emergency fund so that the next flat tire or medical bill or need to take a road trip home for a sick relative isn't a financial crisis for you. $1,000 in an emergency fund. It doesn't mean that you have something you could sell worth $1,000. It means you have $1,000 cash in your checking or savings account that is there not to be touched in case of emergency. The second step is paying off all your debt except for your mortgage, beginning with the smallest balance and then working up. I talk about that in more detail in episode 521. The third is getting 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings. This way, you don't feel like you are screwed if you lose your job or something happens and you get sick. You've got that cushion of 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings. Once you've checked that box, you begin investing 15% of your salary, whether that's retirement, Roths, things like that. Then, if you choose to do so, step five is funding your children's college expenses. Step six is paying off your home early. And seventh and final step is building wealth and giving. It's amazing when you don't have the stress and pressure of debt, what you are able to do to show love and show support and make a difference in the world with your money and your wealth that you are creating. With that said, let's dive right into your questions. And note that in the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/522, I will link to Dave Ramsey's book that I started with, as well as some other resources that will come up throughout today's episode. So just go to primalpotential.com/522 and you'll find that stuff there. The first question is, where do you start if you've been ignoring your financial problems? Tracking. You guys know I am a huge fan of tracking, paying attention, writing down when it comes to fat loss, when it comes to changing your body or changing your food habits. The reason has nothing to do with food and everything to do with your attention and where and your awareness and your willingness and commitment to be honest with yourself. Whether you have been ignoring your weight or you've been ignoring your financial situation, you begin by honestly looking at what is happening. So tracking when it comes to money is twofold. First thing you want to do is put all of your expenses and debts on paper. Face it. Get it all down in front of you so that you know where you're, what you're dealing with. Whether that is your rent or your mortgage, your car payment, insurance, student loans, your electric bill, all your utilities, monthly subscriptions, whether that's Thrive Market or it's Netflix, write everything down. Then the other part of tracking isn't just getting all of your expenses and all of your debts. You need to begin as an exercise in honesty and awareness, opening up your eyes, write down every single penny you spend. Looking at your bank statements, looking at your credit card statements is not sufficient here. You spent $2 on a bottle of water at the gas station? Fantastic. You need to write that down. $24 going out to lunch, it gets written down. The $94 you spent on at Target on paper towels and laundry detergent and all of that stuff, you've got to write it down. Your $80 electric bill, write it all down. Begin to see where your money is going. So step one is tracking. And then step 1B is change your attitude. I know when I say you need to write down everything you owe, some people go, oh my God, I don't even want to see it. Or when they think about writing down everything they spend, like, oh gosh, that means I have to face the fact that I never leave Target without spending less than $100. You got to change your attitude. One of the biggest problems with my weight when I was at my heaviest was that my mindset was, la, 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 I don't even want to know. I don't want to go to the doctor because they're going to tell me how much I weigh. I'm not getting on the scale. I'm not turning on the lights when I go to the bathroom. I'm not buying new clothes because I don't even want to know what size I wear. I'd rather wear stretchy pants for the rest of my life. And that doesn't work. You got to face the facts to change the facts. What gets monitored gets improved, and nothing is different because you see it other than your ability to change it. It's like we fear knowing because we think it somehow makes it real. Hey, it's already real. But the problem is coming in large part from the fact that you aren't facing the music. So we're all adults here. It's time to grow up. What gets monitored can be improved. Change your perspective from, I don't even want to know, to, this is how I change. Nothing is different because you know what the total number is, whether that's your weight or your outstanding debts, but you've got to face it. And then don't throw a pity party. Oh my God, it's so awful. Well, it was just as awful 7 seconds before you knew what the number was. So now you don't need that emotional reaction. It's no different than it was a minute ago. Now we're going to focus on what you can do about it. I don't know if you guys can hear the pounding rain, but it's crazy. Anyway, next question. How do I pay off debt and save at the same time? One thing I forgot to mention at the top of the show, but I'll say now, I am not a financial advisor. So what I'm doing here is sharing my opinion based on my experience and how I have operated in my life, not only to become debt-free, but also to, without a crazy amount of income, create wealth in my life and freedom in my life. So I am not positioning myself as a financial advisor. I am not. I am just sharing my perspective here. And much of my perspective, as I mentioned, comes from Dave Ramsey, who is a financial expert. So if you really want to like be told what to do, I think a really awesome place to start is by reading Total Money Makeover or listening to Dave Ramsey's podcast, that sort of stuff. So my perspective on how to pay off debt and save at the same time, I'll tell you what I did. I didn't pay off debt and invest at the same time. I took one piece of that at a time, which is very much my approach in all areas of life. The analogy that I use often when people are talking about, say, change to their nutrition or their fitness, most people say, you know, I'm gonna eat less sugar and I'm gonna eat more vegetables and I'm not gonna snack between meals and I'm gonna drink more water and I'm gonna try to work out 4 days a week. And think about that as though you're at one of those carnival games where you have the water gun and you have to shoot the target. And when you are dead center on the target, the balloon above the target rises. But if you're not dead center or you take the stream of water off the center of the target, the balloon falls. Well, what happens if you're standing there with your one water gun and you're trying to hit 7 targets? One balloon's going to rise, but then as soon as you move off that target, it's going to fall and the next one goes up, but it only goes up a little because then you're on to the next one. We have a finite amount of energy and attention. So I believe in pouring your resources into one goal at a time, which is why I really love the Dave Ramsey approach. The first thing you're doing is getting that emergency fund fully funded, $1,000. Then you set that aside and you're pouring all of your resources into becoming debt-free. The single biggest predictor of wealth is not one's investments. When we look at people, and there's the data backs this up, I swear I'm not making this up. I guess when people say that, it sort of raises the flags, but truly I'm not. When we look at millionaires, when we look at wealthy individuals, and we look at the commonalities between them, the single biggest predictor of wealth creation is the absence of debt. So we don't need to panic about like, oh my gosh, I'm putting this money towards debt and I'm not investing it. You'll get there, but you will be able to do so more effectively when you are debt-free. The first thing we want to do after that emergency fund is fully funded is pay down debt. Then you're going to get 3 to 6 months of expenses saved, and then you can move on to the investment side of things. But my personal approach on this is that it's not something you do at the same time. All right, the next question. How to manage in a relationship when one person is a spender and the other is a saver? I talked about this a little bit in episode 521 because the reality is that I had the initial desire to become debt-free, and my husband, who's now my ex-husband, wasn't really excited about it. I am not somebody who's ever really been drawn to material things. Like, I'm not a gifts person, either giving or receiving. I'm perfectly happy to not get anything for my birthday or not buy myself trinkets and doodads and whatever. But my ex-husband was very different. He felt like he worked hard for his money and he didn't want to deprive himself of all of those things. So, in a relationship where one person is a spender and the other is a saver, the most important thing to remember is that you can still do your part, right? Even though my husband at the time wasn't really jazzed about spending less and saving more and paying down debt, I could still stop buying coffee. I could still stop going out for lunch during the week. I could dial down my own purchases. I could go to the library instead of buying books on Amazon. There is always a lot that you can do. So first and foremost, change your behavior. The second thing is, don't try to police your partner. The more you start saying, you spend too much money, we're never going to get out of debt, and you become the warden of your finances and you act more like a parent than a partner, you are asking for resistance from them. There is a quote that I love, and I think about it in terms of my coaching philosophy, but I really think it applies beautifully here. I've shared it on the podcast before, but it's a quote from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I don't really know how to say his name, but that was a great effort. And the quote says, if you want to build a ship, don't drum people up to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. I'm going to say that again because I think that we can all really learn and grow from this. If you want to build a ship, don't drum people up to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. So instead of complaining and nagging and placing restrictions on somebody else, acting like a parent instead of like a partner, share your heart with them. And I messed up a lot on this along the way, but what my intention was and what I would always try to return to is explaining, this is why I want this. I'm not trying to manage you. I'm not trying to take something away from you, but rather I'm trying to give us something so much better. And yes, there will be short-term sacrifice, but here's why I think it's worth it. I explained it sucks to work so hard and have so little that we can even play with or spend because it's all going to stuff we've already bought, whether that was our student loans or credit card debt or anything else. And so I shared that dream. What I want to create, what I'm asking you to get on board with for the short term is this long-term benefit of financial freedom and greater flexibility than the flexibility we have now. We have a very limited amount, and this is what I was saying then, we had a very limited amount of financial flexibility at the time given our debt, and I wanted us to have so much more. Dave Ramsey always says, live like no one else so you can live like no one else. You have to be willing to do the things that most people aren't willing to do, maybe the things you hadn't been willing to do up until now, so that later you can do the things that most people can't do, that you haven't been able to do because of the freedom that you create. So share your heart. This is what I want. This is what's in it for us. This is the dream. And then from there, okay, you don't have to be as excited as me. My level of excitement isn't necessarily the right way. It's just my way. I'm not ever going to endorse somebody saying, well, my way of thinking about this is right and your way of thinking about this is wrong. No, my way is just your way. And my way is just my way. And your way is just as valid. I'm not here to tell you you've got to do it my way. But given how I feel about it, and how you feel about it, is there something that we can do to meet in the middle? The example I gave in episode 521, you know, we had a decent-sized family between my sister, my mom, my cousins, my grandparents, all of that, and then his siblings. And when it came to birthdays, every month we had to buy a gift for somebody. And when it came to Christmas, it could be a huge expense. And my vote was, hey, family, we're trying to get out of debt so you don't get gifts. Not forever, but for now. And he was like, no. I want to be able to, and I get a lot of pleasure from giving to the people that I love. Okay, cool. Well, my way isn't the right way. It's just my way. And your way isn't necessarily the right way. It's just your way. So how do we meet in the middle? What are you willing to give? And so we ended up spending more than I really wanted to and less than he really wanted to. And welcome to marriage. Like, what do I know about marriage? Didn't exactly end well. But I think that, you know, I don't regret my decision or how we navigated that. And I know he doesn't either. And we're both really, really glad that we made those decisions at that time. Okay, the next question says, it's actually not even a question, it's a statement. I only earn enough to cover my essentials, so I'm stuck in overdraft. No, you're not. You're not stuck. I refuse to accept this, and I hope you do too. If you convince yourself you're stuck, that's just like saying, I pulled my car over to the side of the road and I turned it off, now I'm stuck. No, you're not. A problem is an invitation to the solution. You're not stuck anywhere. Sell something. Cut cable, get a second job, clean houses, spend less on food, sell clothes you don't wear, get a different job, move to a cheaper place, get a roommate. You're not stuck. There's a million options. It's just whether or not you'll choose them. Now, all of those options that I mentioned aren't reasonable for you, I'm sure, but some of them are. You can find a way to cut some expense or get a second job, get a different job. Go to your boss and say, how can I make more money? What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? How can I add more value that you are willing to compensate? Not just, this is where a lot of people get screwy. I need a raise. I don't think that's the best approach. I'm not saying it's never going to work, but instead, I value the fact that you are trying to run a business that makes money. And I am willing to do more, do better, take on more, add more value in exchange for fair compensation. What could that look like? There's always something you can do. Sell something. I gave the example in episode 521 that I sold kitchen appliances that I didn't use regularly. The next question. How do you deal with the loneliness that's present when you're not eating or spending as much? Well, friend, making yourself feel less isn't the same as making yourself feel better. If you're lonely when you're not eating or spending, it's not that you're not lonely when you are eating or spending. It's just that you're not paying as much attention to it. So overeating doesn't take away your loneliness. Spending more doesn't take away your loneliness. It just might make you distract yourself from it. But feeling less isn't the same as feeling better. So how do you deal with loneliness is really the question, right? Why are you lonely? What is missing? What's lacking? And what can you do about it? Food isn't company. Spending isn't company. It's a distraction. You feel lonely because maybe there's a lack of rich relationships in your life. Okay. Fortunately, you can create rich relationships in your life. So what will you do about it? Also, learn to love your own company. One of the reasons that people struggle is because they want reality to be different than what it is. And I experienced this most profoundly when I first separated from my husband. I very much resisted reality. I didn't like the way things were. I was afraid and I was unhappy and I was lonely. And I would say to myself, but right now I'm okay, right? Like, I don't want this the way to be the way things are forever, but like right now I'm safe. Right now I have a roof over my head and I have food in the fridge. I'm okay. And I also can change my situation. So if I want to be closer to my family, then what can I do to move towards that reality? If I want to have a closer circle of friends in my life, well, then what am I going to do today to create that? Maybe I need to reach out to somebody and be really honest, like, hey, I haven't been a great friend. I haven't kept in touch, and I haven't looped you in on what's going on in my life, and I haven't really requested that you loop me in on yours, but I'm lonely and I want to reconnect and I want to build a great relationship with you. What are you doing on Thursday? You want to go for a walk? You want to get a cup of coffee? I'll make you a cup of coffee. Then you don't have to buy it. Okay. Next question. How do I budget for personal desires like a pedicure, a facial, a new sports bra? I will tell you how I did this. And I think I alluded to this in episode 521. At the time that I first started really seriously budgeting, both my husband and I got paid weekly. And so my budget was based on weekly expenses, weekly income, and we got a certain amount of what we called blow money every week. And blow money was if we wanted to go out for lunch, if we wanted to pick up a bottle of water somewhere. And it was also for these things like a pedicure or a facial or whatever. So I would just save it up. If I knew that I wanted to get a massage and that was going to cost $100, well, then I wasn't going to be buying coffee or going out to lunch anytime soon. It just depends on your situation. Alternatively, if you don't have it in your budget to have a set amount of discretionary money weekly, then celebrate milestones that way. When you pay off your next smallest debt, treat yourself to a pedicure or facial or new sports bra, whatever that thing is. Just make sure that you can pay cash for it. Next question came in from Instagram, and it says, I just listened to episodes 520 and 521, and in both, you seem to refer to delayed gratification regarding food and finances. Would you be willing to do an episode on this? I'm currently on baby step 2, which is paying off debt, and I can delay gratification with money, but can't seem to for food. You can. Whether or not you're choosing to is a very different thing, but let's be very clear, you are capable. For as long as you tell yourself you're not capable, you won't do it because you've convinced yourself you can't, but you can. That is step one and the most important step. The comment goes on to say, probably because I know when I'll meet my goal, and goals can be very fluid in weight loss. Hearing that you would put food or food thoughts in your notes app for later seemed to be very effective for you. And I love the concept related to full on saying no. Okay, so what she's referring to is I was explaining that when I worked in corporate America, like people would bring in treats to the office all the time. And some of the people that worked on my team would often, there was a place called Donut World that I loved. And so just as a way of kind of like being nice to the boss, they would bring in Donut World. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I would die for that. Not literally, but I would create that drama in my head. And so I would just open up the notes app on my phone and I would write Donut World, because I wasn't saying you can never have a donut again. And also, eating it wasn't my only option. I would just say, okay, well, I'm not going to have it today, but let me just note that for later. That's something I'd really love to indulge in a different time. But to me, whether we're talking about money or we're talking about your body changing, it's less about delayed gratification and more about what you want most. Yes, I love sweet things. I still do. And I love sweet potato fries. And I love soft pretzels. But I don't love the way they make me feel. And I would rather feel great than indulge. So it's not that I'm delaying gratification. That might have been sort of my 101 initial starting point perspective. But now it's not. It's that those things aren't worth how they make me feel, and what I want most isn't worth trading for food, period. I lived that way. It sucked. I don't want to go back to that. This way is better, and that's what I focus on. The next question, how can you expand your sources of income? Let me count the ways. Granted, not all of these will be options that any of you choose to pursue, but certainly there is something you can do. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, get amazing at your job, and when you are the best, they will pay you more. Don't take the perspective of, you know, a lot of people will say, ask for a raise. Yeah, you can do that, and if you're amazing, they might give it to you, but I think a more effective approach is becoming so amazing that when you ask, they want to say yes. And if you feel like, oh no, I'm at the max for what I do, then figure out a way to do something more and then ask to be paid for it. Take on more responsibility and get more money from it. If that's not an option, get a different job or get a second job. Sell stuff. Pick up free stuff on the side of the road or on Facebook Marketplace and then improve it and sell it, right? I can't tell you how many pieces of furniture I see on the side of the road that are free, and this is also true in Craigslist free or Facebook Marketplace. There's all sorts of things. People are giving away stuff for free. Sand it down, repaint it, or just list it for $15, $20. Then on a weekend, if you do this two or three times, you've made an extra $100, right? Make something and sell it. Provide a service that people need. Google how to make more money and you will find a quadrillion options. The next person said, I feel guilty spending on weight loss when I'm trying to pay off debt. So guilt isn't about the money. And she says, how can I do both? So guilt isn't about the money. It's about your perspective on the money. And here's how I personally have thought about this. If I'm not healthy, what good is my money? What am I going to do with my money if I'm not well? So my wellness is sort of like the most important thing. I believe that the best investment is in yourself. That is my personal perspective. There is no more worthwhile investment. There is no greater return than investing on yourself, your health, your mindset, your happiness, etc. But if you're like, let's get really specific. There's something you want that's going to help you reach your weight loss goal and it costs $70. If you feel guilty about it, well, then how do you offset it? Can you sell something and make $100? Can you shop around your car insurance rate? Inevitably, I mean, almost all of us can come up with, say, $70 if we switch from Progressive to, you know, you name it. I don't know. But that is always possible. So if you really want to offset the money, then find a way. Maybe you stop getting your nails done, or you push out your hair from every 6 weeks to getting it colored every 8 weeks. Those are the kinds of things that can easily compensate for it. So one is perspective, and two is, okay, find the money. What method did you use to eliminate debt? Well, I personally, as I mentioned, read Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, and I followed his seven steps, beginning with, you know, the $1,000 in the emergency fund, paying down debt, 3 to 6 months of expenses, but ultimately spend less and put everything extra towards your debt. I've already answered the question about, did I have a hard time getting my partner on board? Sure did, but he came around and I could have done things better, but I've already talked about that. How do I change my mindset so I don't feel like I'm missing out on everything? Perspective. What do you want most and why do you want it? If you say yes to this, what are you saying no to? You are the thinker. You are not your thoughts. So when you feel like you're missing out, understand you created that based on your perspective. How else can you see it? What other perspective is available to you? What do you want most? What matters more? You're either focused on what you're missing out on or you're focused on what you're getting, right? Are you excited about what you're trying to create? I was so excited at the idea of getting paid and not having that money already spoken for. That's what I didn't want to miss out on. How do you stick to your budget? Be realistic when you create it and never, ever, ever quit. As Debbie and I talked about in episode 521, you're not going to get your budget right on the first try, and you're probably not going to get it right on your 21st try. It's not meant to be a black and white, right or wrong kind of pursuit. Your budget is always changing. You know, maybe you budgeted $100 for your electric bill, and in the middle of the winter, it's $140. You didn't do anything wrong. It's just a practice. So you've got to be realistic, be conservative when you are creating your budget. And then I think the biggest thing is bringing your attention back to why you want it, what you're trying to create, and always coming back to the why over and over and over again, because otherwise you'll just drift and you'll have created the budget on the first and by the 14th, you're like, what budget? Keep coming back every single day. That's why daily tracking is so critically important. It kind of anchors you to what you're trying to do and why. And I think that is so important. Do you have any tips on ending the cycle of getting into debt? This person says, I pay off all my debt and then I spiral and create it all over again. Get rid of your credit cards and pay cash only. Hard to create debt if you don't have the option to accumulate it. I'm not saying you have to close those accounts, but cut up the cards, throw them away, use cash only. What do I do about social obligations? I don't want to feel like I'm missing out on spending time with my friends just because I'm trying to get out of debt. Debbie and I talked about this, and she shared her perspective. I'll share mine. Be honest with your friends. Hey guys, I'm trying to spend less money. When you go out, drink water, not alcohol. Ask for a separate check, right? I always cringe when I'm out in a group, and I don't mind paying more than my share, but I certainly would have when I was trying to get out of debt. And so I'll see somebody who goes out with us who doesn't order an appetizer, who drinks water instead of alcohol and gets like the least expensive thing on the menu. And then somebody says to the waiter, oh, we're just going to split it. And I know that they are dying on the inside. I've been in that situation. So my advice is like, speak up. I am not afraid to say to the server, I'm on my own check. Or to say to my friends, hey guys, I'm really trying to get out of debt. And so I'm intentionally trying to keep my bill a little bit light. So cool if you guys want to split the check, but I'm just not going to do that. I'm not able to. I don't desire to. Be honest. I think people have more respect for your honesty than your passive aggression and your irritation at the fact that they're saying you're going to split the check, right? So be honest. Then the other thing is make plans that are free. Have people over. Play games. Card games are awesome. Or have a potluck instead of going out to eat. That sort of stuff. Should I pay off my credit cards with the lowest balance or those with the highest interest rate first? So I'm not a financial advisor, but I will tell you what I did. And it is based on Dave Ramsey's advice. And it's the lowest balance first. And the reason for that is simply momentum. It's not about mathematics. It's not about, you know, $20 saved on interest, blah, blah, blah. It's about building that momentum and keeping it really simple. And I really believe in that approach. How do I choose whether to pay down debt, save for a down payment on a house, or fund my retirement? Debt first. As I mentioned, the single most accurate predictor of wealth creation is being debt-free. I have a great job, but I also have $1,400 in student loans each month, and I'm a single mom. How do I chip away? Spend less, earn more. And there are a million ways to do each of those. So get rid of cable, change your cell phone plan, turn down the heat, save a few bucks on your electric bill, sell stuff you don't use, do better at your job, take on more responsibility, become excellent, don't waste time, make yourself known as the best person in your company, the most positive, the most willing to help, the highest quality of work, and then ask for more money. That's it. Whether you're a single mom with a lot of expenses or you're married with 44 kids or anything, the strategies are the same and it is all possible. This next question I love. When faced between paying student loans or eating healthy, which do you choose? Yeah, it doesn't work like that. Pay your student loans and you can also eat healthy. Just to be clear, you can spend a lot of money on food, whether you're eating healthy or not, and you can spend not a lot of money on food, whether you're eating healthy or not. Said another way, when I was at my heaviest, I was not investing in healthy food. I was eating a lot of junk, and I was also spending a lot of money on food. I've also eaten really well, eaten healthy, eaten clean, and spent a lot of money to do so, and also spent not a lot of money to do so. It is not true. It is not true. It is not. It might have been true 5-10 years ago, but it is not true now that you have to spend more to eat better. It's not true. It's not true. I did a podcast and blog, gosh, a couple years ago now, about healthy meals that are under $1.99 per meal. Under $1.99 per meal. I will link to that in the show notes. It can be done. So that is just not a real, it's not a real barrier. You don't have to choose. Pay your student loans and eat healthy. It's not one or the other. I eat out less. I don't buy snacks, right? When I'm traveling, it's way cheaper because I'm not ordering alcohol or appetizers or desserts. Nowadays, there's so many frozen vegetables, way more than there ever were. So you're not having to spend all this money on expensive produce. Like, yes, you can go, as my sister said in episode 521, you can go to some of those more high-end grocers and spend a crap ton of money, but you don't have to. Frozen veggies, canned salmon, chicken thighs instead of chicken breasts. I just refuse to believe that it's one or the other. It's not that way. It is easier now and more affordable now than ever to eat well. Thrive Market, right? I understand that it's not an option right now for those outside of the U.S., but even if you have to go to your grocery store, buying frozen vegetables and canned salmon and chicken thighs is not more expensive than another way of eating, especially when you're not drinking your calories, you're not getting juice, you're not getting soda, you're not getting crackers, you're not getting all of this other junk. Thrive Market, right? The way that they are able to offer prices that are consistently 20 to 50% less than what you would pay in the grocery store is because they go directly to the manufacturer of the food product. So they've cut out the middleman, which means they've cut out the markup. I save money on groceries by buying from Thrive Market instead of the grocery store. And the other big part of that is there are no impulse purchases that way. Sure, you can get sucked down the rabbit hole of like, oh, they have this new chocolate or this new nut butter, but that's a developed discipline that you can practice. So it's not one or the other. It's just not one or the other. And if you haven't given Thrive Market a try, you know the scoop. ThriveMarket.com/Primal Potential. You will actually save an extra 25% off your first order. And for those of you who are thinking, well, yeah, but it's just another expense because they have a membership fee. Yes, they do. And also, if you are truly taking advantage of the savings, whether it's on toilet paper, paper towels, dish soap, canned salmon, Primal Kitchen products, their meat products, their chicken, their fish, etc., you will save more than their monthly membership fee. And when you wait until you're ordering more than $49 worth of food to place your order, you get free shipping. So no excuses, kids. Okay, this next question, two more before that. What is your number one piece of advice if you're overwhelmed about getting out of debt? The number one piece of advice is to get excited about what you're trying to do and why. Be more excited than you are overwhelmed, right? If you submit to the fear and you talk yourself into like, oh my gosh, it's going to take so long and it's going to be so hard and I'm going to have to say no to so many things, then it doesn't matter if you're paying attention. It doesn't matter if you're budgeting. It doesn't matter if you're paying cash because you've convinced yourself that you're a victim of the choice. Alternatively, get yourself excited about what you have the ability to create. That is my number one piece of advice. How do you create a budget? Well, literally, I used paper. Literally, I had a notebook that I wrote my budget in. But at its simplest form, what are your expenses? And what is the least amount of money you can spend? Take the extra, put it towards your debt or your $1,000 emergency fund. Dave Ramsey is a wonderful teacher about this. And you can go to DaveRamsey.com. You can listen to the Dave Ramsey Show podcast, radio show, and he has a ton of resources on DaveRamsey.com about creating budget. And he also has a tool. The tool is not free. It's called Every Dollar, but that is an option. But I just used blank piece of paper. Okay, next question. I have $30,000 in student loans, and I'm on an income-based repayment plan, which basically means I'm just paying interest and it never touches the principal. I recently found out that student loan debt can be forgiven after 25 years. I'm thinking it makes more sense to pay off all my other student loan or all my other debts and let my student loans ride until that amount can be forgiven. What's your opinion? So first and foremost, I'm going to give my opinion, and I have no interest in debating with anybody. So I know that my opinion likely won't be popular with many people, and it doesn't have to be. You're allowed to see it differently. I'm not telling you, you should see it my way. This person asked for my opinion, I'm gonna give it. First, you are relying on the government to be the way it is now in 25 years. Like if you ride it out and say, well, because if they can be forgiven at 25 years, I'm best to ride it out. A lot can change. And I wouldn't put stock in any type of loan forgiveness that's available now being available to you in 5, 10, 15, 25 years. I don't know what country this person lives in, but I will say that the United States and many other countries are not in a place where, you know, wiping debts clean is going to make a lot of sense for a very long time. So I wouldn't rely on any government program for any forgiveness, number one. I wouldn't put my faith in that. Number two, the part that I don't really care if you don't agree with, this is my opinion. Loan forgiveness is not a magic trick. You took those loans and you agreed to pay them back. I understand there are exceptions of people taking loans and agreeing to that forgiveness, military, etc. Not what I'm talking about. This particular situation, you took those loans and you said you'd pay them back. When I say that it's not a magic trick, what I mean is when we start wiping things out, it's not happening in a silo. That influences taxes. That influences tuition moving forward. So it's not just like, oh, poof, I don't owe this money anymore. That has a ripple effect. If you took those loans and agreed to repay them, you repay them. That is my perspective there. Another sort of like nuanced point there. If you feel like you'll never dent the principal, then look at changing, consolidating to get a lower interest rate. You can pay them off. And you can spend less in other areas, and you can make more money, and you can become debt-free without relying on loan forgiveness. That is my perspective. And on that potentially controversial note that I have no desire to debate because I want to give my energy to other things like happiness and joy and my book and all of you guys that are trying to make positive changes in your life, not the nuances of different loan forgiveness. We will say au revoir for today's episode. And you can check out Dave Ramsey's resources as well as that link to the episode I did on fat loss friendly meals for less than $1.99. as well as the link to Thrive Market over in the show notes, primalpotential.com/522. I love you guys a lot. I hope you have an awesome day, and I'll chat with you soon. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/
join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.